Hello, my gracious folks. Welcome back to another oh-so-special episode of the Ultranerd Podcast. Now, before I continue, I just want to give out two things. One thing is that I'm sorry for not posting the recent episode of the Ultranerd Podcast last Sunday. It was because I was trying to study for some stuff for an exam that was today, and obviously, school comes first before the podcast. And not only that, I was mentally spent today, but seeing how my time is not even flying, I just feel like getting it done and over with. So by the time this podcast is out, it's going to be somewhere between today to tomorrow-ish. Today, if possible, if I feel like it. But not only that, I just want to say as well, every time you guys listen to each episode of a podcast, on this podcast, each of the episodes, I mean. I'm sorry, folks. I'm just, like, mentally spent right now. I just want to try to get this podcast episode over and done with, and I wanted to be consistent. The episodes are going to continue on Sunday after this one. But besides just that, if you guys listen to each episode of my podcast, we are slowly pulling up small bits and pieces of revenue through Anchor. And it's greatly appreciated if you guys could tell anyone else you know who's interested in some parts of the podcast that I talk about, if they could be able to listen to it. And slowly and surely, you could help me be like paying them textbooks, flushing that toilet, and most importantly, keeping the lights on and putting food on the plate. And it's greatly appreciated as well. So, let's get into today's topic. So, as a kid, there was a type of game I liked to collect, and this game was probably the most annoying thing towards my family. If they would have ever asked you what was my favorite toy as a kid growing up, they would have sighed at Bakugan. Now, for those of you who don't know, Bakugan was a toy line that first started somewhere between 2006 to 2007. No, yes. Sorry. It was 2006, if I'm mistaken. And really, the idea of the toy line is that you have these big metallic-like pieces known as gate cards. You have a team of three different Bakugan. You roll them onto the gate card, and they pop open into these, like, different types of monsters. Like, you have Bakugans that look like giant eyeballs, you have Bakugans that were reapers, you had a dragonoid Bakugan, you had a Bakugan that could change different attributes. It was all unique here and there. And really, the anime was pretty basic, too. Pretty standard-ish, I want to say. The plot really got out far at hand later in the past few episodes. And then it started to expand it more upon more in each of the different series when this toy line caught on. But not only that, the card game was completely different. Because instead of having like a deck, per se, what you can have is three different trap cards and three different cards known as ability cards. Now, ability cards were slightly different. Besides being the exact same size as the trap cards, they could be activated at any given point during a battle. So, like, say that your Bakugan is lacking power than the other one. So you can basically play that card, and bada bing, bada boom, it's stronger by a few hundred points. And that was the entire point of winning the game in general. Whoever had the highest power points, or B power, or G power, you win the game. And not only that, the game evolved so many times, it's not even funny. Like, for example, for one called New Vestroia, they released this new different type of series known as Trap Bakugan. Now, I honestly had a hard time what Trap Bakugan's purpose were to begin with, besides looking badass in the anime. But basically, Trap Bakugan were very different, because they had the ability of not looking like just like cylinders. They could be any other shape. Like, they could be like spheres. No. That's A circle, damn it. They could be ovals, they could be squares, they could be triangles, and so on and so forth. But not only that, from what I could guess, Trap Bakugan probably gave you the ability to change your Bakugan's initial attribute, if I'm correct. I don't know, I'll and ask the YouTuber Dan Cuso if I wanted to. But not only that. And they release another different wave of Bakugan doing New Destroyer, and some of these Bakugan were way different. Some of them could be able to spin, and that was somehow the cool part about it. And not only that, they introduced like combination Bakugans where you can combine Dragonoid into Maximum Dragonoid, and it was awesome when you were a kid. But looking back at it, you're like, holy smokes, why did I fall for that? And fast forward to series 3, which is Gundalian Invaders. That was a little bit interesting because it introduced something called Battle Gear. Now, Battle Gear was something else where you could basically place it onto your Bakugan. Now, the only downside is you needed to have a Bakugan that had these specific types of pegs on them and a flat surface. Now, these pegs could be aligned with different types of battle gear. Like, if you want your Bakugan to have these types of battle gear that had claws and, like, blasters on its back, so you could place it on there. If you just wanted to have, like, turrets on its back, so you could do that. If you want your Bakugan to have that or this, you could do that. But you pretty much needed this specific battle gear for these Bakugans that have pegs. For the others, however, it didn't work out so well because instead of placing them on their backs, you had to place them on right next to them. And really, that is kind of stupid and kind of probably one of the biggest downsides to Battle Gears during Gundalian Invaders because it's really limiting your choices. Sometimes some of the Bakugans that had these pegs were good, and sometimes they weren't. Sometimes they were pretty all right. Sometimes they weren't. It was like, oh my goodness. And not only that, their shapes were also really interesting too, but they were also somewhat annoying because when you're trying to close them up, like one side would get open as much as the other side. And there's a mess that I'll go into after this series, which is Metal Strike Bakugan. Now, Metal Strike Bakugan were completely different. It was like metal something, I remember. Because the whole gimmick of that was die-cast metal for the Bakugan. And die-cast metal was like the shit during that series. A lot of different types of Bakugan, I remember, had die-cast metal parts and pieces to it. And really, it kind of gave it like a little bit more heft to the Bakugan. And not only that, it also introduced these types of annoying pieces of plastic called the nano gear, I believe. And basically, all you had to do is just press a button and they automatically open up. And really, from like the meta perspective, to reach that power creep, G power or B power, you need to run these pieces of plastic with your other pieces of plastic. And I can honestly see that as an annoying aspect. I mean, I play Yu-Gi-Oh! And the meta is changing ever so annoyingly, and it's, maybe. But furthermore, it also introduced like these, like, Bionic Titan types of Bakugan. I can't remember what they were called, but all I didn't remember was they were big, they were cool, and they looked better in the anime for some reason. And not only that, they had like these like things on their back that you just like psh, on them with their own gate cards, and it pops open, and they have like different types of like openings. They could open their mouths. They have like these different types of like gizmos and such. And really, it kind of was giant, basically like a giant piece of plastic action figure for Bakugan. And I, looking back at it, I don't think there was anyone who was able to use those during the meta game. Vehicles and Titans! I remember, I'm sorry, folks. At one point in Bakugan's history, during Gundalium Invaders, again, it introduced Bakugan vehicles and Bakugan battle suits, and they were pretty much like the same thing, where vehicles, you basically just plop your Bakugan onto it and just push it right into the gate card without rolling into it, and it popped open, and it was a part of that Bakugan's G-Power, and it was absolutely crazy, too. Not only that, but battle suits was completely different. It was almost like you plopped your Bakugan in, and you just, like, watch it unfold before your eyes, if I could remember correctly. I didn't have one, but they, looking back, they were pretty ridiculous. As much as the Titans, or whatever their names were, again, because, like, what did you use them for besides the G-Power bonus? Because it, looking back, you had a very limited range and idea of how it could be able to operate consistently. And now let's get into the last thing that was probably the most annoying thing in Bakugan history. Sky Jumper Bakugan. So apparently, there's these types of Bakugan that when you roll them onto a gate card, they literally have these like super heavy springs in them somewhere that when they open, they just jump right into the air and land somewhere else. Now, granted, they are on that gate card when they were landed, but when you roll them, they jump into the air. And my God, these were annoying. The last series of Bakugan, they introduced so many different things. Some of them were alright, some of them were interesting, others failed as hell. Because I don't think anyone used them. Like, for example, there was like Fusion Bakugan, where basically you had two different Bakugan that had two different specific types of pieces of plastic that could combine together into other forms of pieces of plastic, and you could technically make them into another version of a Bakugan. Now, they could be either the same attribute or a different attribute. I don't know, because I haven't played against them, and I think I never did, and I never had them. But I had the Skyflyer Bakugan, and they were absolutely annoying! Because, like, they are so annoying to close in general. Because if you're not literally fighting the damn spring to get their legs in, you're trying to make sure everything is together. Otherwise, you're gonna be frustrated, it's gonna come apart, and you're gonna throw it at your wall, and you're like, why did I even get this damn thing? And you're like, oh my God. And not only that, there was also like Bakugan mines. I don't know what they were for. I don't know what that was, and I didn't know what the heck it was used for to begin with. I don't think anyone else knew what it was used for. But I almost forgot something during the middle evolution. They also introduced something called Switch Bakugan. Now, granted, I can't remember what they were specifically, but from what I can remember correctly, basically, there was like these two different types of Bakugan where you could switch like the bodies and the base of a Bakugan to another one. I remember listening to another video of a YouTuber named Damn Cuso's idea on it, and it was annoying because he said that sometimes they would open and they won't fit in correctly, and it was absolutely stupid. Now, before a quick thing, I just want to say before I get into the other half of the podcast, Bakugan in Japan really didn't work out so well because it might have gone over here quite well in America, but in Japan, it didn't. But in their defense, they have far better Bakugan ideas than we did. Because, like, you had, like, in the anime, they showed the actual designs of, like, the Bakugan evolutions for, like, New Vestroia or for, like, other characters. However, for this, they didn't. They didn't even give us that. They didn't even, when you're comparing the ones that you would get from America store and comparing them to the anime, you're like, how the hell is this that? And it's absolutely disappointing because a lot of the designs for the Bakugans in New Vestroia and other Bakugans that we may not had to begin with were absolutely cool. They were unique. They were different. And they were something to behold and to collect. And instead, we get something so stupid. It is not even funny. But even though that Bakugan failed in Japan, they tried to reboot it, known as Bakutech. And that was a completely different story. And the rare thing about Bakutech in Japan, if I can remember correctly, was instead of just focusing on G-Power bonus, they more or less focus on double standing, launching your Bakugan with different techniques, making sure you get like a Bakugan KO, which is like basically smacking your opponent's Bakugan right off their gate card and winning it instantly, if I'm not mistaken. But it primarily focused on those two things, and they would rarely actually focus on battling the two Bakugan together. Like, for example, there was like this Bakugan that basically had like this rubber adhesive kind of thing to it. And basically it would like stop other Bakugans from like crashing into it and so on. And yeah, there was that. So I'll get into the next thing about Bakugan's reboot after this message. And we are back. So Bakugan was later dead after the Sky Flying Bakugan series. Now, not that many people, including myself, liked it over many of reasons. Either there's a complete battle gap between power and other things to involve. And not only that, you also have these annoying Bakugan that don't decide to close on you. And the anime wasn't really picking up that many people either. Bakugan was dead after that. Later on, somewhere between 2018, I want to say to 2019 maybe, Bakugan later made a return. Spin Master did try to reboot the series into something different. They made some leak posts here and there. They showed different characters. They showed some things and some leaks here and there about the new series. And eventually, when they came it out, it was known as Bakugan Battle Planet. And my god, it changed completely everything. Besides enunciating, the name's completely different. Instead, I question this. Normally, in the original Bakugan, there were several different attributes. Those attributes were Pyrus, Aquas, Ventus, Chaos, Darkus, and Subterra. For some reason, they replaced Subterra, which was Earth, with a different element that's just basically a beat stick, and replaced the idea of Earth with Ventus, which normally Ventus is wind, and I don't know why, but I kind of find it confusing, because when I think of Ventus, I think of wind, and when I look at green on a Bakugan, I think of wind. I don't think of just earth, but I'm getting a little bit too, like, petty over myself with this little change. But not only that, they tried to reboot the entire story. They rebooted the characters. Dan and Masquerade are still in there, but they rebooted the entire idea of how Bakugan is completely played from a beginner to advanced perspective. And holy smokes. To me, it works. So let's start with the most obvious change, which was the Bakugans. So obviously, there are two different types of Bakugans. There is Bakugans known as Bakugan Ultras, and there are the standard common Bakugans. Now, you may be thinking to yourself, but Zane, what is the Ultra Bakugan so different than the common Bakugan? Now, here's the biggest difference. A while ago, before Spin Master started Bakugan to make the designs a little bit more advanced back in the 2000s, Ultra Bakugan are slightly... Sorry, I drank a hot cup of chocolate after this. But besides just that, Ultra Bakugan are slightly bigger. In fact, a lot of the Bakugans are slightly bigger than the original. And not only that, that the Ultra Bakugans are a little bit more detailed in terms of design, of how they're played, and how they are generally used overall. And you'll see what I mean later. And not only that, they have so many different types of Ultra Bakugan. And some of them could just, you could barely even think that a ball that's roughly a size of a medium-sized marble could look so fine, could look so detailed. It is not even funny. And they completely changed the identity of Bakugan with these Ultra Bakugans. But they're also a pain in the ass just to close. However, there is a Bakugan that's basically an eye. And not only that, its eye could be shot out of its head. I don't know what it is. I don't know what its name is, but I want one now. And not only that, but for common Bakugans, for the standard ones, they're pretty simple. They have a simple-ish design to them. They're pretty standard, and yet they close fairly easy. Not too big, not too small, just right. And the way how Bakugan is played, too, is completely different. One thing about Bakugan was that you had these big gate cards, right? Sometimes if you don't practice, like, your rolling techniques of... Yes, I had to say rolling techniques. If you don't know how to roll them correctly, or, like, try to get them onto the gate card, they would just, like, lean to the side and not even get on the gate card, or you may not even make it onto their magnet and they may not pop, but this is completely different. Instead, you get these hexagon type of shape little pieces. Now, each player gets three of these, right? And after each player takes a turn placing them down, they have to connect to one another. This is like the Matrix, I believe it's called. And not only that, each player takes a turn rolling their Bakugan onto a matrix. And some of these matrixes could have different perks and abilities to them. Some of them could have like extra G power, decreasing G power, a fist, and I'll get into that about a little bit, or so on. And it's pretty standard, and from what I understand, it's basically the same rules as much as the original. If you have the highest attack value, you win. But that was only the standard rules of Bakugan Battle Planet. The advanced rules takes it for a different spin. So one thing that Bakugan did struggle with to begin with, to me personally, was its cards. Because their cards were very different size. They were irregular, I want to say, for a trading card. Because one thing you can't do with them is you can't sleeve them and you can't put them into binders. You gotta buy these weird-ass specific binders for the trap cards. Whereas I believe for the newer versions of their cards, they're pretty standard size. Probably, from what I'm guessing, somewhere between the standard size of a Yu-Gi-Oh card to the standard size of a Magic the Gathering card. And they work. Because the card game is completely different. It changes the rules for Bakugan entirely. So, say you have like a team of three different elements. So, basically what you do then is you have a 40-card deck of several cards that relate to those three elements. Like, say, for example, you have a Pyrus Bakugan, so you'll put some cards that have Pyrus in it. If you have an Aquas Bakugan, you'll put some cards that are involved with water, and so on and so forth, right? And the point is, your deck is your life. This is the second game that adopts... Third game that adopts the idea of life decking. And I'll get into the other two very shortly. But I'll talk about some of the pros and the cons. So, the pros of the TCG version of Bakugan is both players take a turn and you both draw a card. And not only that, anything could happen in the middle of this card game. Whereas, like, you could play a card in middle of a battle to help your Bakugan do more damage. You could play a card that can make your opponent lose power, and so on and so forth. And it takes a ton of different aspects from, like, I want to say Magic the Gathering, because you could also be, like, charging energy and tapping energy to activate these cards. So it's basically like Magic the Gathering when you think about it. And not only that, at one point, you see these different types of symbols with the fist, like I previously mentioned, and that's how much damage you could do to your opponent. Like, say, for example, if you win a battle and the damage you dealt is, like, 3. Now, each Bakugan comes with their own character cards, and that could be, like, the specific damage that they could do, right? So, what your opponent would then do is they would take the top 3 cards of their deck and put them into the bottom of their pile, or put them in the drop zone pile or discard pile or whatever the fuck it's called. I'm sorry if I curse, folks. Like I said, I'm mentally drained at the moment. But besides just that, it's both a genius and not so genius idea. The reason why it's genius is because, like I said, anything can happen. Your opponent could have this turn of the side of the battle, or you could have the side of the battle. And not only that, it could also be very teasing, and you could just be sitting there watching yourself dump nearly half of your deck into the drop zone. Because here's the thing, even though people would use different types of Bakugans just for that purpose, just for like an OTK idea, remember the Bakugan that I said is basically a beat stick? It basically has the highest striking power and probably the highest G power out of all the other Bakugans. So essentially, you're trading in a beat, you're an actual element for a beat stick. And if you win 3 duels, that is called a team attack. So basically, you tally up the total numbers of each of their power strikes, or whatever it's called. And if the number comes up, like, say, 14, your opponent has to send 14 cards to their drop zone. However, there are specific types of cards known as stop cards. And basically, they stop you from dropping more cards into your drop zone. And that is helpful sometimes. Sometimes, because the downside of them is they can't be played in the hand. They have to be played in the deck. And not only that, sometimes they could cost expensive, sometimes they may not have that good abilities, and sometimes they're just plain stupid. But it does help, and I could honestly see why. I mean, I try to build a deck with Earthbound Immortals, and boy, it is hard. Another day about talking about Yu-Gi-Oh! Archetypes. Another time. And I can understand why, because, like, you have very little options for, like, these stop cards that could actually help you or benefit you in a specific way. And not only that, if the point of a card game is literally watching you or your opponent, like, send half of their cards to the graveyard, is absolutely ridiculous. Now, like I previously mentioned, there are 2 different kinds of card games that take the idea of life decking to a different and better way. For example, there's a card game back in the 2004 called Duel Masters. I'll talk about that in a sec. And there's another card game called Card Fight Vanguard. It's still around today. I don't remember when it started. So let's take Duel Masters, for example. Duel Masters is a little bit different. It tried to be like Yu-Gi-Oh!, but it was more like Magic the Gathering. So the idea for Duel Masters was, it did adopt the idea, I think it even started the idea of life decking, where you would take the top 5 cards of your deck and place them face... Ow, I bit my tongue. And place them face down, you can't look at them though, in front of you. Those are what's known as your shields. And basically, what it takes to win is you basically destroy all your opponent's shields and attack them directly and win the game. Now, the best part about the shield idea was you don't obviously dump half of your deck into the graveyard. And instead, you keep half of your deck where it's supposed to be, in front of you. And instead, the shields could be anything. And what I mean by that is when they're destroyed, they don't go to the graveyard. Instead, they go to your hand. So, like, say, for example, when they're when one card is destroyed, if it's a monster, that goes back to your hand. And sometimes these types of shields, known as shield triggers. So automatically, when they're destroyed, you can activate them for free. Now let's get into the next card game, which was Cardfight Vanguard. Cardfight Vanguard is slightly different, I want to say, because it takes the idea of life decking to a different level, where your opponent's not attacking you. It's more or less attacking your cards or your deck's leader, which is called the Vanguard. And basically, after they attack, you have to do what's known as a damage check. So when you draw a card, you have to reveal it to both yourself and to the player, or to the other opponent. And if you fail the damage check, you have to put that card in its own separate column known as the damage zone. After your Vanguard gets damaged 6 times, you lose. And really, it's probably a little bit of a better idea and example of life decking. Because both of them are, in fact. Because one, you're not dumping your entire deck into the graveyard, and two, they have different benefits to them. Whereas Duel Masters could have the benefit of having monsters or spells that can activate instantly for free, and Vanguard has these types of things known as triggers. So when you do a damage check, you could get a heal trigger, and you could heal from recent damage or gain more power to help defend your Vanguard even more. And there's other ones with that too, such as like a sand trigger, a critical trigger, but that's more or less if you're being offensive, and there's also a draw trigger. Now, before I finish, there are a couple things I do want to mention. Bakugan has also released something known as Baku Battle Gear, which basically is the same thing, but slightly better, because it didn't have the ideas of pegs to begin with, and instead, it could be used for any Ultra Bakugan overall, even ones from the oldest part of the series. So basically, you could use it for any Bakugan if you do please. Some of them look good as the way they are, some of them look a little bit questionable when you place them on, and some of them look just right. And not only that, also at the time of recording, Bakugan has also released its newest game, and my god, it does not look good. Now, just as quick as well, back in 2000, when the Wii was a big thing, Bakugan did release two different games for Bakugan, which was Bakugan Battle Brawlers for the Nintendo Wii and the Nintendo DS. Both of them were really good and really fun, because it taught you the original way how to play Bakugan efficiently. And not only that, you could also like steer your Bakugan into different areas to get conveniently placed G-point power-ups so you could get more G-points. And not only that, you could also like play these different types of mini-games where your Bakugan could like gain more G-power and basically quote-unquote battle your opponent's monster. And that was great, and it was fun. When you see the gameplay for the newest version, it's more or less trying to take idea and inspiration from the anime, which is basically having the kids run around and basically collecting the hexagon cores and throwing it at their Bakugans. That is it. Overall, I wish the game had had its own ideas or tries to be at least better in terms of how to play the damn game. Because if you're going to introduce a game like Bakugan and make it into a video game for kids, if they're like, oh wow, I want to play this game with my friends, but I don't know how to play. Hopefully this game will teach me how to play. And they see that, they're going to be disappointed. Now, even though that some of the Bakugan games back then weren't like the talk of the town, they were still fun. They were still entertaining. You still had the option to collect different Bakugan, to collect other Battle Brothers Bakugans if you want and play them. You had that option. And most importantly, it taught you the game. Now, before I end the podcast here. I just want to say I would like to thank all of my listeners for today. I would also like to thank my sponsor, Anchor. And most importantly, be sure to listen on my past episodes of the Ultra Nerd Podcast. And remember, geek is fleek. And the next episode will come this Sunday. Promise.